Hey, I think whenever we do our intro today, we should switch. I think you should say my part and I should say your part because I'm like, you don't know what the episode's going to be
about. It's true. That's so true. Okay.
Do you need to practice?
Hang on.
I'm not going to do it for you.
As you said those words, the words that you say every time have left my brain.
I know. This is the 112th time you've heard them too. Well, no, you've heard them 111 times.
Yes. Okay. Okay.
Do you need to practice?
No, I think I can do this.
Okay, then we'll just jump right in.
This is Be Createful, a podcast about finding fullness through creativity. I'm Madison.
You did it! And I'm Joe. And today on episode 112, we're talking about this is how we do it.
This is how we do it. Mm-hmm. Na, 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 na.
This is going to be a case study in creativity.
Hey!
So, we just had spring break.
Oh man, am I tired.
Whoa. So if you're, I almost lost my notebook. If you're a regular podcast listener, you know we did not have an episode last week.
And the reason is Joe and I were both very hard at work, giving these kids such an interesting and exciting crafting experiences mm-hmm. here and around Cersei.
Yeah. So we'll get there. We're going to start at the beginning.
All right.
I was going to try to, you know, play in questions, but I think we have the best conversations when we just talk about it.
Sure.
I figure that potentially future episodes will pop out of the things that we talk about as well. So we'll see. This is just going to be no plans, loose conversation.
We're keeping it chill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Thinking back to before spring break camp was even an idea. Do you remember where the idea came from?
Well, it's something that's been sitting in our minds for a while. It could have come from two places. One, our partner, 100 Families, may have brought something up because we do something in the summer. Mm-hmm. But it also could have come from you because when we talk about the kids program, the main times that like kids are out of school, usually our holidays are summer. Well, we already cover summer, mm-hmm. but we don't have anything during spring break. Mm-hmm. So you may have brought that up as like, hey, let's offer something for the kiddos that hang out here.
And that's my recollection as well. And we didn't do it last year because you were supposed to be gone during spring break.
Yes.
So then we said, okay, in 2023.
It's going to happen.
You will not be gone for spring break.
Yep.
And in case you are not familiar, 100 Families is another local nonprofit that their mission is to take families from crisis to career. So they work specifically with families or individuals mm-hmm. that are in any sort of crisis situation. Coming out of prison, their kids are in foster care. They have just finished a drug rehab program. And 100 Families helps them navigate the social programs that are available to them. So there are a few ways that we have partnered with 100 Families, specifically the kiddos that are part of those families.
Yes. So we provide, they can come to any of our classes. Mm-hmm. We provide scholarship spots for that. But this was the first time that we've offered something exclusively for them.
Yes. And the birthday parties.
Oh, yes. The birthday parties as well. Those get donated. We've done birthday parties for other individuals, but they get donated.
Yeah, once a month they get a party.
Yeah.
So once the idea was out there, hey, we're going to do this, what do you remember as being next in your process?
Okay, I had a quiet moment of freaking out because if you've worked with kiddos or if you live with kiddos, you know that having their attention for, what did I have them for, like 6 hours or something? It can be a lot, especially if you live with those kiddos. You know it's a lot to try and keep them entertained for that amount of time. So after that like quiet freak out moment, my next step was, okay, I need to figure out, like initially I thought I need to brand it. I need to think of a theme because I thought that's what was going to help me plan.
Yeah. I think you might be getting ahead of yourself a little bit with the branding because this would still be like in the initial plan, like before we even knew we were gonna do it.
Okay.
Because there was a lot of steps, right? Like mm-hmm. from there's the planning on our side, But then there's also the collaboration aspect.
Oh, you want me to talk about like our talks with 100 families?
So the first time that we spoke with 100 families really about doing, like I had mentioned it, hey, we're going to do it, we're going to do it. And then it was in January that we actually met with them. So that would be 3 months out basically.
Mm-hmm. And we talked about what the spring break would entail. We also had to discuss like I don't necessarily want to say legal, but like what we could and couldn't do with the kiddos, because there's a lot of rules surrounding like taking kids from one premises mm-hmm. to another. Is it safe for us to be able to take them outside of Searcy? What does that all entail? Are we going to be able to contact the parents once spring break is done? Like, can we keep, that line of communication open or not? So, we had a long conversation about that.
And there's a moment when there's a phase in the creative process where you're just throwing spaghetti at the wall, right?
Yeah. So initially at the end of the week, we were going to take them on we're thinking about taking them on a trip to, the Discovery Museum, like just having a day in Little Rock. So we had to think about, well, how are we going to get them there safely? Lunch, all of that business. In order to be able to plan for that and contact the museum, we would have to have a number of kiddos, mm-hmm. Which can be a struggle for any organization that's trying to get like signups or a signup list.
Yeah. I think this is bringing up something pretty quickly, that a lot of times when you're in this initial planning to the actual planning to the execution, you get stuck in these loops of, well, we can't really know this until we know this information, but we can't know this information until we know that first information.
It's like a tragic logic puzzle where you're like, well, I can't do that yet. I can't make that decision yet because I don't know about this.
Were there any big ones of those for you in the planning process?
Like each time that I would reach out to someone outside of Make Do, that's kind of when it would happen. Cause they're like, can you give us a number? And I'm like, I'll have to give you a number a lot closer to time.
Okay. So it was about the numbers mostly.
Yeah. Because I've been working here enough at Make Do to like, I can kind of riff if I need to when I'm in our space, but when I'm outside of the space, that's what causes
it's hard to do stuff outside of our space.
Yes.
Okay. That brings up another thing though, back to, you said you had your little freak out moment.
Yeah.
But you have done things in the past that would translate into this. So can you talk about that a little bit, about like maybe what past experiences could you draw from?
Absolutely. So during, I don't know what year this will be for me doing the summer program, but
I think this is four.
This is four. Okay. So I've had three summers before where I've done these things.
Yeah. Cause 2019, 2020, 21, 22. This is the fifth year. No.
I didn't do it in 19.
You didn't do 19.
During my summer program, I do sewing classes and then I do this other thing called day camps where basically it's centered around a singular theme and we do 3 to 4 different crafts.
And they're there all day.
They're there all day. They bring their lunch. So this was basically an expansion on that. 5 days of what used to be my themed day camps all in one shot. Yeah. So that is, I could draw on some things from that. However, the cool thing about my day camps is because they were themed, I could sneakily recycle some process art and things, and it would feel new to them. But you can't get away with that when you're doing a solid week. So there were some things that I was able to kind of recycle from day to day. But for the most part, if it's 3 crafts a day and they all need to be different, that's 15 different activities I have to come up with.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, I'm really going to have to up my Pinterest search and be able to figure out, because a lot of the things that I may pull from Pinterest, I put my own spin on because of access to supplies or what I know the kids can do. So I knew that I was going to have to be innovating crafts to fit our needs.
Okay. Let's talk about the participants as well, because typically in those day camps, it was a mix. Like last summer, we had some kids from 100 families and some kids just from the community. Without like I'm not trying to put any kiddo in a box,
mm-hmm.
but were there any sort of, did you have any trepidation about having an unknown number? Like, we had said the max was 30.
Yeah.
Tell us what the max is for your summer camps.
The max for my summer camps is like 15, but rare. It has never met that. I think I've hit like 12 or 13 yeah. before.
So we were talking about doubling the max
mm-hmm.
and with all kids from 100 families.
Yes.
Are there any, is there anything you notice that is different with it from the kids from 100 families versus the kids from the public?
Yes. There is a level of, how do I put this? Like, there's a level of uncertainty in them, security. There's a level of insecurity in them that the kids that are not from 100 families don't have, and that can, or that they don't have. I think, yeah, y'all get me.
Yeah.
That kiddos from the outside don't. And that manifests itself in many different ways. A lot of these kids, they need to know what's happening next because they often don't know what's going right. on. So I get a lot of questions about when are we eating lunch? What are we doing next? Where are we going? What's happening? And for a lot of, and for me as well, and a lot of people, that can get very annoying mm. because you just want them to like, just trust me, what we're doing is fun. You know, what we're going to be doing next is going to be like you're, whatever we're doing, you're going to be doing it. So why do I need to tell you? But for them, it's more of like they don't have a lot of control in their lives or mm-hmm. they don't have a lot of trust. And so they need to be asking those mm-hmm. questions. That also manifests itself specifically talking about food because now I have no idea what any of their home lives are like.
Right.
What I do see from them is that some of them will come in with being hungry. Now, they could have eaten breakfast. Y'all know how kids are. They mm-hmm. can be bottomless pits.
Mm-hmm.
But they can come in and they're like, I'm really hungry. When's lunch? And, you know, we load them up with snacks so that when they go home, they have a lot of snacks.
Well, and after the first day, so this is jumping to the execution of it a little sure. bit, but you realized, you said something to me about realizing, oh, these kids eat lunch super early.
Yes, I forgot from my days of teaching that oftentimes these kiddos can eat as early as like 10:45 yeah. or 10:30 in the morning at school. So if they're coming here, even if they're coming here at like, you know, 9 o'clock, that's still a long time for them to wait until noon.
Yeah. And a lot of these kids, they would definitely qualify for school breakfast.
Yes.
And we don't know who takes advantage of that, like mm-hmm. who opts into that program and who doesn't, but we weren't providing breakfast at 9 o'clock.
No, we were not. But I also knew that these kiddos also often come from like different households in like a singular family, or well, I should say like a family unit, a unit yeah. of kids. They have a couple of different households that they come from. Uh-huh. So depending on what house they come from can greatly impact what they are like the day of.
Right.
So sometimes there's that greater like insecurity of this kid could be delightful one day, but because of they didn't get enough sleep or something happened at their house, at one house and another, they're a totally different kid the next day.
And we see that in the general public population of kids coming to.
For sure.
It just seems to be more the norm or more typical.
The conversations that I have with 100 families' parents when I say, hey, this is what I noticed today, they're like, oh, they came from so-and-so's house today. Yeah. That's why they're like that.
Yeah.
So that's why I mentioned that.
All right. So we're still in the idea phase. Mm-hmm. We're jumping around a little.
Yeah.
Talk about things that maybe having exposure or having 100 families kids at summer camp, what lessons did we learn that maybe impacted how we even approached spring break to start with?
So a big thing coming back to food, it's important to us human beings. We love our food. Mm. I would require that people bring their lunch.
Mm-hmm.
However, we in the process of coming up with spring break camp, we decided that we were going to go ahead and provide lunch. It took one last thing off of parents. After all, we, in the process of coming up with this camp, we had in talks with 100 families, they had said, yeah, a lot of these parents work and they need a place for their kids to go. And there's not a place for their kids to go. So that was another way that we could help out parents, was to provide lunch for their kids so that they don't have to worry about that. We also extended the time a little bit by an hour, just so parents could have more time and the kids could have more time
earlier.
Here. And started a little bit earlier. We also knew that we wanted to like bring in other people from the community mm-hmm. to help out. To take a lot of load off of me so that they're not constantly having to see me. Sometimes they can get a break, you know? But also so that they could experience tastes of Cersei that maybe they wouldn't normally get to.
Right. Did you talk about transportation?
Oh, no, I did not. So initially we were going to try and see if we could figure out a way to like pick kids up.
Because that was a barrier that we saw over the summer, right? We would have mm-hmm. kids who were registered for a class and they wouldn't show up. And when you would contact them, it would be, oh, we didn't have a ride.
Yes.
So we knew, we had learned that that was a barrier at the beginning too.
So we were trying to find ways that other people outside of Make Do could take care of that. For this spring break, it didn't pan out.
Yeah.
But we're hoping that in coming spring breaks and maybe in the coming summer, there might be ways for us to be able to like pick up those mm-hmm. kiddos.
And that's part of the collaboration process with 100 Families. That in itself is one of the tricky pieces of the puzzle because mm-hmm. they have, you know, we're talking with lots of different caseworkers. We're talking with their executive director. There's a lot of people in that conversation. And one of the, I don't want to call it a hurdle, but one sticking point or bottleneck sometimes is communication
mm-hmm.
both ways. And this is just one aspect of what they do.
Yes.
And it's all of what we do.
Exactly. So in the process of that, because I was collaborating not just with various people in the community for different activities, but also with them because it's the population that we're serving mm-hmm. was their people. We had to talk about ways that made communication simple and easy for them and for us as well.
Mm-hmm.
We had already learned, like we already knew from past summers that the best way to contact parents is through text message.
Yes.
Email, not going to work. But with 100 families, there has, like with any organization, sometimes people leave or things shift
mm-hmm.
and, you know, people get into different roles. And so I needed to find a point person.
Mm-hmm.
So that was also important. When we had our second meeting in person, I was like, hey, who needs to be the point person so I can talk to?
Well, also because their point person had just had surgery.
Yes.
And as someone who went through surgery, you can't also then be, it's hard to be an executive director and be recovering from surgery. That
exactly.
was just and you never know. You think that you'll be able to do more than you can during your recovery.
Like, I didn't want to be filling up people's inboxes that didn't need to know the information.
Yeah.
So I was like, if I can send this to one person or whoever needs working out as well, a spreadsheet where the caseworkers could go in and fill in names of kiddos that they wanted to sign up for something or to have a birthday party. And we did the same thing with our spring break camp so that I could have a real-time list of who all was coming.
Yes. As we're talking about this, you know, I'm always thinking, why does the listener care?
Yeah.
I think a lot of people care because they just like to, you know, listen in on our conversations. But I think that this does translate to any sort of new project that you're doing in your place of work.
Or in your, like, church or community group.
Yeah.
When you're trying to facilitate something that requires, you know, more than like five people, these are the kinds of systems you'll need to have in place in order to organize everybody.
Yeah. And like having frequent and clear communication is vital.
Yes.
Yeah.
I appreciate both the frequent and the clear because I think some people can get frustrated by like the constant email where someone's like, oh, and this. If you can consolidate it into as concise as possible when you're sending out that information, that's also vital.
And sometimes you need a place where there is, so I am in this situation with my board of directors right now. We have a project that we're still trying to decide on that's ongoing. Lots of meetings are happening with lots of different people. And so I have like different board members are involved in different parts of that. And so I have a running Google sheet or like Google Doc where I just add notes from each new meeting that we have. And so then I will just send them a text, hey, met with X person today. The notes are in the doc. And so everything is in one place. So then we don't have to go find in our inbox 7,000 different messages to try to find the one thing that we're looking at. So sometimes it's nice to have a hub of information too, which is what the spreadsheet was like.
Exactly. And if you're not a person that does spreadsheets, I'm just going to do a little plug here for Jamboard. It's through the Google like office suite. And
I'll put a link in the show notes.
It's basically where it's like a whiteboard that you can stick digital sticky notes to and you can move them around, and each board has like a separate page. I don't use that at Make Do, but there's another organization that I work with that's how we planned out writing our bylaws, and it worked so well for a majority of, or for a wide range of people who learn in different ways, because it just felt more like we're all in a meeting room and we can put those sticky
notes. Yeah, more brainstorming.
Yeah, it was very cool. So that's another way that you can kind of organize and keep notes where you need them, where everyone can see them.
Okay, so we've talked about kind of the idea phase, the collaboration, and some of that is going to overlap with the next phase. But at what point did you start planning? What was your planning process like for the day-to-day of camp?
So I knew I was drawing on my years from being a substitute teacher that these kids, it would be easiest for me and them to have like a set schedule. Mm-hmm. So I divided up our time and then I figured out what genre of craft we were going to be doing at each time. That way we would be exploring like all 5 days we did painting, but we explored a different type of painting.
Yes.
You know, same with sculpture or fiber art or whatever it was.
Where did you start in that process? Like, 'cause I think different people kind of approach a situation from different directions. So did you start big picture, like thinking, okay, can I come up with three things that are repeatable in different ways? Or did you kind of zoom in to the one day and then back it up?
You know, actually, I'm going to step it back a little bit further. I was really stuck about what to do. I was like, do I need a theme every day? Yeah. Do I need that? Like, what am I doing? So I finally just Googled summer craft camp or summer art camp and looked at what other people did.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this is what this looks like.
Yeah.
Cool. And so for a lot of them, it was like, oh, we do painting in the morning and we do sculpture in the afternoon and then we do outdoor time. And I was like, excellent. That's how I'm going to do it. Because having that schedule and knowing that each day I was going to have this type of thing to do not only gave the kids stability, but it helped me out when it came to planning. Because initially I was like, I need a theme that I can plan all of my crafts around, which worked for my day camps.
Yeah.
However, the theme was going to have to be quite large for spring break because, again, I was going to have to come up with 15 different activities. And that branding or that theme was going to have to be, it was so broad, it wasn't going to help me figure out what I was going to do from the day to day.
Right.
So I had to break it down even smaller. So that's when I decided, I was like, all right, I'm going to be doing, you know, these three or these four different media of art. And then when I did that, it just like clicked in my head that I wanted to do a different theme every day, but that like connected with itself. Mm-hmm. The kids didn't even necessarily know what the theme was, but like it would be things like creativity is sweet, creativity is messy. And each of those days had crafts that tied in with that theme. Mm-hmm. I think the most obvious day for the kiddos was when we did like all ice cream crafts because we went to an ice cream shop that afternoon.
Yeah.
But the other days they weren't, it wasn't as important obvious to them.
Right.
And that's okay because it was more of a planning tool for me than them knowing.
Right. Yeah. That's a good thing to point out, I think, is that sometimes we can try to, you know, with your idea, because I remember we talked about that, you saying we could have a different theme each day. Creativity is fill in the blank. And sometimes we can get so focused on making sure that that part shines through, that like the branding of the day or the camp or the fundraising campaign or whatever, mm-hmm. that it's really obvious and clear and shines through. And actually, is it necessary to the experience?
Is that truly the point?
Right.
Is the kiddos knowing? I think the last day, which for me was Creativity Was You, was really a day where the kids got to, they had experience with all of these different supplies. So I was letting them kind of free roam a little bit. Mm-hmm. That was also the day that we went to go and enjoy a movie. So it was kind of like more of a chill day anyways. I don't think any of them knew that that's what the theme was,
right.
But it helped me plan. Like it got, they had a good day at camp and that's really what mattered. And they knew that they were at Make Do. So like, what else? Mm-hmm. What else counts?
Once you kind of had your framework for that, mm-hmm. what next? Like, did you do your framework and then come up with specific crafts, or were you trying kind of on Pinterest finding crafts and then building the framework they would fit into?
So framework, then I went to Pinterest. Like there were some things that I was already pulling from classes specifically that I did for my homeschool class, because those two demographics do not overlap. The kids from 100 right. families and homeschool. So I could pull a lot from that.
Right. And it would be new, like things they hadn't done before.
Exactly. And the joy of having them here for a whole week meant that we could do crafts that required dry time and they could come and return
yes.
back to it.
Compared to summer camp.
It has to be done that
yeah.
day.
Yeah.
So that definitely expanded my range of options. But then I went to Pinterest and I pulled out a few things and I was able to get through probably about 3.5 days. And then I kind of stalled out. And that's okay. when I realized that one of my themes, I was like really trying to make it work. And I thought, if I move some of these crafts around and extend this and do this, mm-hmm. then I'll be able to get 5 days out of it. And then I can just rename it a different theme. So sometimes even the structure that you start out with, like, oh, I'm going to do a different theme every day, that might help you get about like halfway through. But once it stops working for you, it's a good time to reexamine and think, okay, I need to be reshuffling some things.
Right. Because what's the priority? Like you really have to have, so what would you say was your priority for the kids?
To have a different experience each time that they engaged with the art project, and at least once a day have them be challenged by something.
Okay.
They were going to encounter something that they had never done before, and they were going to have to learn a new process at least once a day.
Okay.
On the tougher days, they were having to learn like two new processes, and sometimes that got to be a little much for them.
Did not knowing how many kids we were going to have, because at this point we didn't know, mm-hmm. right? Did that impact at all what kind of crafts you were choosing?
You are on the right track there. You're absolutely right. It does, because with smaller kiddos, I'm the expert.
So there's multiple unknowns. It's yeah. We don't know the age of the kids that are going to be coming. We
yes.
don't know how many we're going to have.
Yes.
Anything else that was an unknown that was playing in? Gender?
I mean, gender could also play into it, because my worst fear was realized when I saw a 14-year-old boy sign
oh,
up
yeah.
for the camp. And I was like,
yeah.
oh, no. Because I need to cover the most, I need to find interests that cover the most amount of kiddos. And if I've got anyone who's 6 years old, that greatly diminishes the execution of art that I could be doing. So if I had someone on the opposite of extreme, someone who, you know, is close to driving age, you're not going to be able to meet both of those needs.
Right.
So number was a big one, because there's only one of me. Mm-hmm. I did have some volunteers.
Well, and we knew, okay, when we were planning for 30, we were thinking like one volunteer for every five or six kids, right?
Yes. However, they are not experts.
Yeah.
They're the helpers.
Yeah.
Whereas if I had like 7 kids or like something like that, then I could do some crafts that were more intense, but I could provide the scaffolding and help that the kiddos
right.
needed that
right.
even volunteers would really struggle to do. I had our wonderful Make Do teens come and help us out.
Hang on, we'll get there okay. in the execution.
Great. So I had to think about something that 6-year-olds up to like 10 or 11 year olds would possibly enjoy both genders, like wide range of interest there, and potentially some ages. Yeah. So yes, it did greatly diminish what we could be doing.
Yeah.
I know I pushed the 6 year olds a little bit because I had to provide at least some experiences for older kiddos that they could enjoy. Mm-hmm. So that was tough too. They definitely struggled during the sculpture because they don't have a lot of fine motor movements, and that was really difficult for them. And they also struggled during some of the parts where we had to do like some fiber crafts, like whether it was like hand sewing or some weaving. You think kids would know how to like do the whole over under thing, but if it's small, it can be really hard for them to mess with.
Yeah.
So,
Okay. When did things start to solidify for you? Like, when did you start feeling like this is going to be fantastic?
Oh, okay. So like once I was like I had those 3.5 days, I was like, yes, I can do this.
Okay.
I was like, I have this much so far. I'm filling up my time.
And where was that in the timeline for like weeks prior to?
It was probably 3 weeks before, I think. But also I take that back. There was a little bit closer to time when I'm finalizing the activities we were doing outside of Make Do. When we got the last one squared away, I like did a little dance. I was like, yes, we were able to get the movie theater here in Searcy. It's a renovated 1920s movie theater. And we were able to get it all to ourselves for a very reasonable price. Yeah. And I was so excited. I was like, yes.
Yeah, that was fun.
Oh, it was wonderful. So that's when I felt like, okay, this is good. We can do this.
Pip is refusing to chew her bone by herself. She wants me to hold it, and she also has brought me the smallest nub bone instead of chewing the big bone that I can actually hold on to.
Yeah. It's her favorite. It's the first bone. It's her favorite.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So anything else you want to say about planning? We had a deadline for what, like almost a week ahead of time.
Yes. It was exactly a week ahead of time, just so that...
Because then we prepped that last week.
We did prep that last week.
And I felt, I mean, you may be felt differently, but to me, it looked like all your ducks were like in a row and behaving.
As far as like prepping?
Yeah.
Yes. Because I had planned a little trip right before spring break.
Right.
I was like, I need to make sure this goes off well. So like I had, each day had its own bucket, and I had myself, Joe, and some of the teens prep all of that. It also really helped that, back for lemonade, we had prepped a craft for a large amount of people. We had made like these small acrylic paint bottles, like squeezy bottles. And that is what really saved my bacon throughout the whole week, because as we needed acrylic paint, I could just tell the kiddos, hey, go over there and grab a bottle without grabbing
it's
huge bottle.
Small. Right.
Already small, fits in their hand. And so like to like blow that up a little bit larger, any way that you can like make it easier on yourself or in the moment, like automate something where you're not having to be there facilitating it, is beautiful. That's what helps things go off
and
so well.
That comes from the experience.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's like Mondays with Madison, you're doing a lot of these crafts there.
Yes.
You've got spring break, camps during the summer. You have experience with these specific kiddos. You have experience with large numbers. Like, it's just all of the things. So sometimes even if you don't have certain experience in the specific thing that you are starting or planning, it's figuring out what parts of your experience translate or carry over.
Exactly. So yeah, I definitely learned any way that I can step out of the picture is better for the kiddos.
So when it was sign up time, we started out with like not very many people on the
list. Oh, and we had people, we have two families that regularly come to Make Do every week. They were the only ones signed up. And I was like, I know there are more kiddos to come here. So I was like, I just sent a little
email. In one of our collaboration meetings with 100 families, a caseworker shared that one of her clients the year before got fired from her job because she had to stay home with her kids at spring break. So obviously we know that there was a real need. Like, yeah. And this was costing these families to not have something to do with their kids.
Yes. So I just shared with the point person, like, hey, just, we've got these families signed up. I'm excited. You know, let me know if there's anything else that we could do to make this more simple. Mm-hmm. So actually something new that we did was I made a digital flyer for 100 families to send to the kiddos or to the parents. And that's something that we had never done before because we had just never thought about it, but they're like, right. Is there an image that we can text? Yeah. And I'm like, oh, genius. Yeah, I can make that happen.
Yeah.
And so I think that's something that we're going to continue to do going forward. Mm-hmm. And then we got quite a few signups.
Yes, we had 19.
And then we were going to even have a few more because we had someone want to sign up a little bit later. And I thought, what's 21? You know, I had already, at this point, I had already prepped for 30 kiddos. So I was like, whatever. Yeah, bring them on.
Yeah. So then it was the week of. How were you feeling like Monday before you came
in? I was a little concerned.
About what?
Because each class has its own flow. If I know what kids are going to be there, even though they're going to act differently, they have a flow. I know what to expect from them for the most part. I don't know how these kids are going to interact with each other. There's going to be kids.
This was a lot of kids you didn't know.
It's a lot of kids I didn't know either. I didn't know how they were going to interact with our space, with me. And I was like, once I get past Monday,
yeah,
it'll be fine.
I think anyone who, the first day is always horrible. Like, new job.
I was here super
new school,
early.
New camp. New anything.
Yes. Especially when this is the, like, the first day of me doing this ever.
First day jitters are a real thing, and I think they don't ever go away.
Yeah, it's just something you got to deal with. So I made sure that Monday was the day that I was the most prepared for.
Yeah.
So that I could just lean back and rely on that. We did have some hiccups the first day.
Yeah, tell us the one that really stands out.
I had a kid who was like, I don't want to be here anymore. Now,
on the first day?
Uh-huh. Or no, I guess that was the second day. Okay, so, well, see, look, when you do something new, sometimes the first,
I mean,
you know, the
I
first
have
day.
The biggest hiccup in my mind. I want to see if you say the same one.
So we only had 7 kids show up the first day.
Actually, we had 4.
Or 4, yeah.
And then we sent some text reminders, and then we had 3 more come. So we ended up with 7 out of...
out of 19.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh no. And it was the families that we had already interacted with. Even there was 2 that came later.
Yeah.
They like, even, and like there was 2 that had been with us before. And I was like, okay, I already know all these kids.
Yeah.
And I was really disappointed because I knew that these kids, if had to be bored at home, spring break with nothing to do. I was like, man, did all this work. So Joe sent off some text messages. We got a few more kiddos. And then we had a few people say, all right, we'll be there next week.
Or tomorrow.
Or tomorrow. Yeah. And the thing is with dealing with this population is that if a lot of these people or a lot of this population has more than one kiddo. Mm-hmm. So if 1 or 2 families don't show up, that was a majority of the kids who were signed up.
Yeah, I think we had 5 families represented with 19 kids.
Yeah. So that was hard. And then on the second day, like I was saying before, we had a kiddo that was like, I don't want to be here anymore.
Mm-hmm. And this was someone new. They'd never come to make do before,
it's
right?
It's true. They were also young. And as a kindergartner, as a first grader, I experienced this when I went to school. I was I had a lot of separation anxiety. I did have a spot where like people could come and sit for a little bit and then they mm-hmm. could kind of sneak away. But in the end, I ended up having to text the adult, which is something I even told the adult. I'm like, I am so sorry. If you need to stay there and I need to convince her, I will do that. But I just need to let you know that this is what's going on.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, the kiddo decided that they wanted to go home, but they did at least try through 2 different activities, but it did make me really sad.
Yeah.
I knew it wasn't a reflection on me. It was more of, I want to go and be with my family. But I always want kids to be enchanted with make do. I want them to fall in love with this place. And so it makes me sad when I've got kiddos that are just, they're really homesick.
And it just means not right now.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean forever.
Yeah.
We also, so because we only had four that first day, we completely rescheduled something. Because
we had an activity that we were going to go do. We were going to go to a ceramic studio, and we were going to paint ceramics. Uh-huh. And Joe was like, yeah, it would be better if we had like more kids going. I'm like, I completely agree.
Well, because this was going to be her day off.
Yes.
And so she was going to meet us there on her day off specifically for our kids. And I was like, it's not worth it for at that point. We had seven.
No. So we switched it to the next day.
Yeah.
And again, this is like another, like I had to, and because we had switched it to the next day, there was someone else that was already having that spot. So I had to switch them over to the next day.
Oh, right.
Like
the weather didn't really participate as much as we would have liked either.
And the way that we were transporting these kiddos around Searcy was we were just walking.
Walking. Because it's all within a couple blocks.
It's all very close.
Yeah.
So I was navigating that as well and making sure that I was like, oh yeah, I got to make sure to let her know and do all of that.
Okay. Talk about our teens.
Okay. My lifesavers. So, I opened it up to all of the teens. I had a few teens like do the whole, yeah, I think I'll be there. Yeah. I was planning on maybe having one, but for the most part, I had two the whole week. Uh-huh. They gave up their entire spring break to come and work with kids.
Like, and enthusiastically.
Yes. One of them has a really good air of authority to them, which was kind of shocking because they are typically, when they first came to Make Do, they were very, very quiet.
Yeah.
But the way that they were able to keep these kiddos in line and be able, when I would say, oh, tell them the next step, they just like got it. And I was like, oh my word. I could like almost cry.
Well, and the highlight for me that week was that I gave this teen a ride every morning. Mm-hmm. I loved it. It just was, I don't know. I just love like getting to be a genuine part of these teens' lives and like have them be a genuine part of the community at Make Do.
Oh, also this teen was so particularly excited about the day's theme. They're like, can you give me a rundown of the day's theme and what we're doing so I can prepare? And so they would wear something that went along with the theme. That was not required. Mm-hmm. They were just like, I just think I would like to do this. I was like, oh my word, you are the best.
Yeah.
And I told them straight up, are you sure you want to be here every day? They're like, yeah, I was just going to be hanging out at home. And like, even though that's true, that was their time off.
Yeah.
And kids were.
I even gave them an option to sleep in one day because I had to do something else. And I was like, if you want me to come pick you up an hour later, let me know. And I'll come get you on like the back half of the errands I have to run. And they're like, no, regular time.
The
8:45. Oh my
like, gosh. Like I'm getting ready to start crying that a 15-year-old like had enough, we had built up enough rapport with them at Make Do and they loved this place so much that they wanted to come and like give back to that place. And we are quote compensating them in like being able to come to some classes and have, you know, if they want merch or something like that. But that's not really tangible to them. Like, that was a whole week that they could have had off to do whatever they wanted. And I know they work hard in high school and they wanted to come and work. Mm-hmm. It warms my heart. And I know that Make Do has played such a big role in their lives because before then, Joe has mentioned this before with this teen, when they first came to Make Do, they didn't talk to anybody. Mm-hmm. But now they're getting up in front of a class of like 10 or 11 kiddos, some of them that are basically their peers, let's, you know, 13 and 14-year-old and guiding them through art. It's just beautiful to me.
Yeah.
Our second teen also was magnificent, but in a different way. They had this like magnetism that caused all of the kiddos to like gather around them. And the kiddos always wanted this teen to like come sit at their table and talk with them and joke with them and like come draw with them. Like, what? You're not going to do the craft with us? Mm-hmm. Come do the craft with us. And just the way that they were able to foster community with the kiddos, they all wanted to hold their hand as they walked down the street and sit next to them and just watching this like Disney princess-esque moment happen to this teen with these kiddos was wonderful as well. Mm-hmm. And they were always like, hey, so what's the next thing? Can we help? Mm-hmm. They were never like sitting in the back, just like waiting for me to tell them what to do. They were always like, what's next? What do we need to do next?
Right. I think some of that comes from make do is their space. Like they feel empowered here because they're comfortable here. They, you know.
They know where things are. Yeah. They know how this place works. They've been in the back rooms and they know what all of that looks like. Yeah, they have ownership here.
Yeah. My favorite times, I mean, I basically, y'all, I was Madison's gopher. Anything Madison needed, I did.
Oh, then here, let me speak to that as well. It was glorious to be able to pass off handling lunches to Joe. So like when you're planning something big and if there's something that you can hand off to someone you can trust, by all means, please do it. Because not having to think about lunch and getting people or here or me having to tell someone to go and get it was wonderful.
Let me add to that because I'm your boss. So mm-hmm. this was a project I had given you.
Mm-hmm.
So there's two ways it could go. One, I start micromanaging and like checking in with you too much. How's this going? Whatever, whatever. I really didn't have a clue what you had planned, when it was happening, when you were working on planning. So I just trust it. I mean, this is Madison's job. So she's going to do it. She doesn't need me checking in on her. So that's one thing that you could maybe be too involved with a project you have given off to someone else. Yes. The other thing is not being involved at all or telling that person, well, this is your job. You figure it out. Mm-hmm. And so I told you
like
from
way
the very
ahead of a
beginning,
time. Yeah.
I'll take care of lunches.
It was beautiful. Again, invaluable to me.
But so that is an example of like, I know this needs to be done. This does not need to be done by Madison. It has nothing to do with the creative experience of camp. So by taking this very specific thing off of her plate, it freed you up to concentrate on like where you were needed.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing I could have done was say, just tell me what you need.
Yeah.
What do you need me to do? Which I did, like that offer was out there.
Yeah.
But if I didn't give you something specific,
it would have been hard. I would have been like, okay, well, here's some things to prep. Because we did do some of that.
Well, and there is a power dynamic too. Mm-hmm. So like I've given you this thing. So then if you came back and said, I really need you to take care of lunches,
mm-hmm.
would you have felt like that is something you could ask of me?
I think I would say like it would be half and half because I know that you have a lot of connections with the community mm-hmm. more so than I do. Mm-hmm. So you have the relationships mm-hmm. that you were able to pull on. So even if I may not have said, hey, can you handle all of the luncheons? I may have said, hey, can you handle the lunches with people that you have connections with?
Right.
Or I would have said, hey, I'll order the pizza. Can you go and get it?
Yeah.
Kind of thing. But I didn't have to worry about any of it. And Joe had some killer ideas about snacks, too, because we saw what was happening with these kiddos. They'd
oh,
come
yeah.
in.
The first day we were like, we didn't have enough snacks.
And like they would want snacks in the morning. Mm-hmm. So we got to take care of that. And so she came up with a wide range mm-hmm. of delightful snacks for the kiddos.
Well, and they saw from the beginning that there was plenty. Mm-hmm. Like it wasn't a total free for all, but also there wasn't scarcity.
Yes. Yeah. There was always going to be more mm-hmm. once it was, at least once the table was depleted.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So anything else like in the actual execution, like day to day, things that popped up that you're like, we could do that better, things that went really well, what stands out?
So what I did well and also didn't do well was that the people that I confirmed with, I'm glad that I confirmed with those people because mm-hmm. there were often times where they were like, oh, you need to call me right now because we had a misschedule. And I didn't confirm with someone else and they showed up while we were doing something else and I felt super horrible about that.
Oh, you're talking about the people in the community
in
that
the
we
community.
Were partnering with.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I learned that I... Like, even after I've, like, confirmed with them even a week before the day of, in the morning, I'm going to shoot them an email or a text message and be like, hey, we still good? Cool.
I think this is a big lesson too, is letting someone else tell you how they want you to communicate with them. So we are asking favors of other people, right? So it's really on us to communicate in the way that they need.
Yes.
And so we learned after the fact that one person really doesn't do email.
Mm-hmm.
So we had an email just floating out there, you waiting for them to confirm, and they didn't.
Yeah.
And so you thought that it wasn't happening, and they thought it was because of a phone call.
Yes.
But no confirmation. So,
So now I know to ask how they want to be communicated with. Some of them were actually upfront with me about that. They were like, hey, let me tell you how this is going to go. This, this, and this. And I'm like, cool. I loved that. Even though like there was an element of like, this feels really intense and I'm not used to it. It also allowed me to relax.
Well, also because that person, let me tell you how this is going to go, was like, we are here for what you need. You tell us, you can have anything you want. Yeah. Basically was the vibe.
Yeah. And I was like, oh yes, ma'am. Okay. Thank you. It was wild. But like when I talked with the movie theater, they were like, talk to this person. Okay. Now talk to this person. And they said, can you call this phone? I was like, oh, okay, cool. Yeah. So for any of you out there, like if you're having this, if you are a part of something bigger or facilitating something bigger, just being upfront and saying, all right, here's how you can reach me. Email is not going to be the best. Do text or do this or whatever.
Yeah.
Just be upfront with that. So, yeah.
And it's not always the people that you're working with, if what you're doing is outside of what they do, then they're not going to know what they don't know. And so it's also on you to ask that question, how do you want us to communicate with you? Like, we know that that's a problem and that other person might not. So sometimes the more clear and specific you can be, the better.
Yes, exactly. Trying to think about if there's anything else that I learned from executing.
Well, what went really well? What were you proud of?
I was so impressed with like how these kids were able to hop from craft to craft. Because it's an all-day art thing. I know it sounds fun, but kids get bored.
Mm-hmm.
So I was really impressed with the ways that they stuck with it through all of that. They also behaved pretty well everywhere we went that was not in our space. And I can only give myself credit for that so much because the kiddos made good decisions about that. I was impressed with some of the quality of art that came out of this week. Like, these kids really tried hard. And I was really shocked about how unwilling they were to get messy. I don't know why. They were just like, this feels weird and I don't like this. And I thought kids loved getting messy, but apparently not. There's a lot of kids out there. They're like, this feels weird. I don't want to do this, but they tried anyways.
Mm-hmm.
So I was proud of them for that.
Will we do it again?
Probably. Yeah, we'll have to. I mean, I'm speaking from a place of tiredness right now. Yes, we will. I don't want to do it again right now.
Well, and you don't have to.
And I don't have to.
That's how I feel after the fundraiser every year.
You're like,
I can't imagine doing that again.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so what will you keep and what will you change?
Let's talk about the things that I'm going to change first. I think I'm going to get someone to take them to recess or to like go and play.
Yes. I did that the fourth day, I guess. And, you looked like you were about to fall over.
I think
Madison needs a break.
Yeah. Yeah, spending 6 hours straight with kiddos, even through lunch, is a lot. So I need to find breaks in between there. Or if that doesn't work out, then I'll lock down my teens to teach a craft. Like, hand over a whole, like, hour section to them. I'll still be in there, but, like, I could be prepping in the same room while they're teaching the class.
I think having someone else to take them to lunch is brilliant.
Yes.
I think also that we could have somewhat of structure. I know that they need like free time, but also some sort of structured outside game would be good with the intent of burning the energy.
Yes, because that I knew from going back to the planning, I knew from the get-go they were going to need to go run around because mm-hmm. They were eating so much they needed to burn mm-hmm. off that extra energy.
And having a contingency plan for weather because we had bad weather like 3 out of the 5 days.
Yeah, not great.
What will you keep?
What am I keeping? I'm going to keep the like sculpture aspect of it because the dry times, being able to come back to something, taking them to different places around Cersei, I'm going to keep that mm-hmm. because they get to see more of the community mm-hmm. that they live in mm-hmm. and that's invaluable. And I mean, I'm obviously going to keep like, you know, the schedule and the lunches and yeah. things like that so that people aren't having to worry about that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm excited about what may come next, what other things that we might be able to do. Maybe next year we'll be able to do a field trip or something like that. But who knows? This yeah. might evolve into something different than mm-hmm. it was this year.
So. Well, I just, as an outsider, basically, I mean, you know, I'm not, but you did a fantastic job.
Good.
I was so proud of you. I was already tired on Sunday night just thinking about this happening. And I'm embarrassed, actually, at how hard it was for me, for you to do spring break camp. Does that make sense? Like,
because you took them one day, and then you also took care of lunches. And there were some days that you would, like, pop in and you'd help me prep.
I went to Walmart every day.
Oh, that's true. I forgot about that. Look, going to the store is tiring.
But I was in bed at 8 o'clock every night. I was not that involved, but it was exhausting to me.
Yeah, it is. It is pretty tiring, but
it also, that first day was rough when we only had 7 yeah. out of 19. And so we had, I had sent an email out to our email list, telling them about spring break. I had applied for a grant that we didn't get. Mm-hmm. So we were short on some. I mean, they funded the whole thing. All that we asked, we got funded.
And those of you who helped out and who are our Zest friends, you are or already have mm-hmm. gotten a video talking about yeah. this.
Our Zest friends are our monthly supporters. If you're not one and want to be, link in the yeah. show notes.
Without y'all, I like this whole like spring break camp, like I wouldn't have the luxury of being able to plan in advance yeah. for this stuff. Our spring break camp would have looked like we would have stayed here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we would have had to rely on the grace of other people for lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of supplies, like the air dry clay is quite expensive. A lot of these like cooler, flashier supplies we wouldn't be able to have.
Well, and this is a whole nother episode, mm-hmm. but the way that Make Do functions as a business is that we have such fantastic supporters mm-hmm. that we always are fundraising for the future.
Like, yes. So when I say those things, what I'm meaning is like,
knew that we could do this even if we didn't get the immediate funding.
Because we yeah. have people that have been supporting us and are continuing yeah. to support
but us. But then when we asked, people showed up like for the actual thing.
Yeah.
So that was just fantastic too. But what makes it tough is I had said there's 19 kids coming.
Yes.
It's $300 a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And so then that's like $5,700. So then that first day when we had only 4 people come mm-hmm. and I'm like, oh my gosh, I lied to our donors, which isn't true.
No.
The cost of camp basically stays the same.
Because it requires the same amount of planning time, supplies, and everything for...
And we still planned for 19. Like, we still bought enough air dry clay
yes.
for 20 kids.
Yes.
And so that was the tough thing for me, was thinking about, okay, how do we go back now to our supporters? And I'm going to use the word spin. What actually happened so that they don't feel let down.
Yes.
So
basically what we allowed for was the opportunity for 30 yeah. kids to come to camp. And the reality is that when we are working with this population, it is a gamble as to whether or not mm. they will come. However, each time that they are given an opportunity that they know it's open mm-hmm. and they continue to be shown that they have opportunities, mm-hmm. they are more likely to take it.
Yeah.
So even though they didn't, maybe they didn't come to spring break camp, I'm getting ready to send off summer camp forms. Mm-hmm. They're going to see this and go, oh, I remember that I could have gone to this. I'm going to try this now.
Yeah. So what it does is it allows Make Do to be a stable pillar of opportunity for these families.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of how they interact with us at any given point. Like we're
not relying
here.
On them.
Yeah.
Instead, our support comes from our Zest friends and our donors.
Yeah. So,
which we appreciate. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Anything else you want to say?
It was really sad to me to watch a lot of these new kids be as down about creativity as they are. Mm. I heard a lot of negative talk, and my hope is that after the week that they had, and I hope that if they come back, that we can continue to work on that, that they can try new things and see that things can turn out really, really cool. Mm-hmm. I'm also proud of the older kiddos who came, like their 13 and 14-year-old, and were good sports about it.
Yeah,
they were absolute angels. And honestly, I was impressed with the way that these kids behaved both in the studio and out of the studio. Mm-hmm. When we had problems, I talked to parents. It mm-hmm. was taken care of within the day.
Mm-hmm.
And even though I'm really, really tired,
yeah,
I do kind of miss that experience already.
Yeah.
Being there.
Well,
day
it's
in
the
and
camp high.
Out.
Like, it's still the camp high. Yeah. Okay. I want to just wrap up. I know we're like getting close to our hour, but y'all don't mind, right? I want to wrap up things that I heard you say.
Oh.
And that this is kind of a summary mm-hmm. for if you are doing a new project in work, home, school, church, whatever. First of all, we talked about doing a soft launch or like starting small in whatever the project is. Mm-hmm. So we did that through Mondays with Madison, summer camps. All of those things led into this bigger thing. We didn't just jump right into the big thing.
Yes.
I don't always do that. I want to jump into the big mm-hmm. thing. But finding ways to test what it is you want to do mm-hmm. before you jump into the whole thing, fantastic. Frequent and clear communication. I'm also going to add to that, like, in a way that someone wants to be communicated with. So whether that's text, email, a running document with all of the information in one place, and setting those guidelines from the beginning. Like, mm-hmm. I think if we had said to 100 families, we will check in with you every Tuesday mm-hmm. or, you know, like something like that so that it's not on them.
Yeah. So that I'm the alarm clock and they don't feel guilty.
Right. Because this is our project.
Thing. Yeah.
Don't reinvent the wheel. So either you're learning from your own experiences. You don't need to reinvent something totally new. But if you don't have your own experiences to pull from, learn from others. Pinterest, YouTube, other people in the community, people on Instagram, ask us, whatever.
Yeah.
Learn from other people. That's not cheating.
No. In teaching, we call it, that's what most teachers do. You've got to like beg, borrow, and steal to get things done. Because the point is it not being your original idea.
Yeah.
The product is the experience.
And you're like, I would never even think of it as like stealing.
No, it's just the phrase.
I know, but I get it. Be flexible. Sometimes you're going to have 19 signed up and only 4 are going to come.
Yeah.
You're going to need to rearrange the days.
Yes.
You need, you know.
Don't freak out. It's going to happen.
Yeah, so don't hold success. Success doesn't look like the plan being executed exactly as you planned it,
mm-hmm.
which leads into the final thing, which is to know what your priorities are for the project. And that is your compass. That's your North Star. That's where you're making all of your decisions from, is those priorities that you've named.
Mm-hmm.
And if it fits the priority, it stays. If it doesn't fit the priority,
get it out of there.
It leaves. So that is how I would summarize what you said.
Beautiful. And I think those are excellent tips for anyone who's planning any sort of, gathering, whatever.
And maybe some of these tips we'll dive into deeper. Like, I think flexibility would be a good podcast episode.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Do you have a sweet this week?
I do. So the Nintendo movie is coming out.
I didn't know there was going to be a Nintendo
movie.
Oh,
yeah. Mario, Luigi, Princess Peach. They're all starring in a movie where, like...
Wait, is it Mario? It's a Mario movie or it's, like, other... Like, is Donkey Kong
going to
be in it?
Yes, Donkey Kong is going to be in this movie.
Don't tell my parents, but in high school one year, one of my friends, her parents were gone. So she had the house to herself for, like, a week. Uh-huh. And I stayed with her, which is really weird. We weren't even, like, that great of friends. But we skipped school to play Donkey Kong. At her house.
Oh my God.
We were just obsessed and we skipped school to play Donkey Kong.
I love it. Well, that's part of my suite. The other part is we have a set of couple friends that we go and see Marvel movies with and they text us. They're like, hey, you want to see this movie? Also, do you want to cosplay as the characters to go? Hey-o. And I was like,
are you going to be Princess Peach?
That's what they requested because I've got blonde hair. So I was like, sounds like a trip to Goodwill to me. So
fantastic. I'm so excited.
Can you like reuse some of your Rapunzel stuff to be Princess Peach?
You know, I never thought about that before. However, I'm going to do like a very simple cosplay, nothing too extravagant.
What?
No 3D printing for this one. I did go to Goodwill and I found a 1980s like pencil eraser pink bridesmaid's dress. It has puff sleeves and bows.
Perfect.
And I was like, excellent. Done.
I was thinking for your hair.
Oh, for my hair?
But does she wear her hair up?
It's like half up, half down.
Okay.
It's quite strange. I will have to figure that out because she has bangs. I don't know. I'm going to have to figure some things out, but it'll be fun. So I think Richard wants to be Donkey Kong.
Okay.
So he's going to have like a big red tie.
Yeah.
I think that'll be fun.
Okay. My suite is, so one of the families that I was in Ireland with, the daughter, Bailey, is getting married. And I mean, when I met her, she was like 8. So these are like, I don't have my own kids, but these kiddos I kind of take on as my own. But then it's different, you know, as they get older, she's like in her 20s now.
Yeah.
So it's kind of different. Anyway, I got her wedding invitation. I knew what it was, so I didn't open it for a while. And when I finally opened it, she had written me the sweetest note I have ever gotten. Aww. I don't save stuff really.
Yeah.
But I'll be saving this note. It just was like so specific and like spoke to our, like she was speaking as an adult to how our relationship when she was a kid had affected her. It's so sweet.
That's
so
precious.
Anyway, I didn't cry when I read the note, but I'm crying now. I think just like the realization that the way that we are, I just think about it with the teens we have now, with the kids that are coming to make do all the time. I mean, even as a teacher, but like we get to have more one-on-one connection with people, but just the impact that you can have on young people that sticks with them.
It does.
And just how important like loving them and accepting them as they are.
It's why I wanted to be a teacher. Yeah. It's why I do what I do here.
So
that's lovely.
Anyway, she said that I taught her about self-confidence and self-acceptance. And we did have nights when she would spend the night with me and we watched The Runaway Bride.
Oh yeah.
It's really PG.
Yeah.
And
back in the day PG.
No, I mean, it's from the 90s.
Oh, but this wasn't like, this was after PG-13 was a thing? Okay.
That's no Top Gun PG. No, this was like, I mean, it came out like in the late 90s.
Okay.
So there is a point where the grandma mentions something about the wedding night and the one-eyed snake. And she asked me what the one-eyed snake was and I told her to tell her mom, ask her mom. And the next day I got a text from Denise that was like, one-eyed snake, thanks a lot. I'm like, sorry, it was rated PG.
I thought it would be fine.
But anyway, she like mentioned those nights and just how formative it was. It was very, very sweet. Okay, what's your sour?
That's lovely. I'm still tired. It's Thursday and I still don't feel recovered. And I took care of myself during the week. Like after I went home, I was like, after spring break camp, I pretty much like, I ate dinner and then I like laid down. That's all I did. And because I knew it was going to be tired, but even still.
Me too. And I wasn't even really doing as much. I know.
I'm hoping this next weekend coming up, I'll be back in action.
When I told you, you're getting old and it just takes us longer to recover now.
Yeah, I'm getting old. What's your sour?
I didn't write one down.
Okay.
I don't know. I guess I'll say I'm tired too.
Yeah.
Well, like I do, I'm still trying to figure out how to get more things done, more time, but then I don't want to be focused on productivity. It's just such a rat race in my brain all the time.
Man, it's a real shame when you have to compete with yourself.
I know. What are you learning?
You know, I haven't really taken the time to learn many new things over
this
last week.
You learned how to execute a spring break.
I did. And so you heard in the whole podcast how that went. Mm-hmm. So I've definitely learned a little bit more about communication.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
There you go.
I'm learning about wildflowers because...
I'm sorry, this is off the wall. What up?
I had two pine trees in my front yard. Cut them down.
Yes.
Which now means a place that was shaded and nothing grew now gets almost full sun and stuff is going to grow.
Yeah.
I'm not an outside work in the yard kind of person, so I don't want to be mowing in July and August.
Yeah.
So I'm like, what am I going to do with the, and it's not a ton of space.
No,
it's quite
like,
small.
Yeah.
So I'm going to see if I can make it be a little pocket prairie.
Aww.
And so I got some wildflower seeds and a couple other seeds. So I'm going to see if I can just kind of have a little, I got wildflower seeds that all stay under 2 feet. So they won't get like
crazy.
I mean, some
tall.
Wildflowers get really tall. So we'll just see. That's what I'm learning
That's
about.
Exciting.
So I got the land kind of like I did an initial cleanup and pulled some like weeded mm-hmm. a little bit and stuff, but I'm going to need to do even more. And then I got seeds.
Mm-hmm.
So then I might also go and get some plants to kind of supplement while these seeds grow because it can take like 8 weeks.
Mm.
But anyway.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I forgot to mention, I'm learning how to like repaint a deck. That's what I'm learning
oh,
right now.
Bleh.
I mean, that's kind of boring, yeah. But I am excited that my outdoor space will start to look nice.
Mm-hmm.
So, because it's getting warm.
Okay. Well, happy April.
Yes.
And we'll be back next week.
Yes. All Enjoy right. your day.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you to my dear, dear friend Craig Hudson for our very createful theme music. You can hear more of Craig's music on Spotify under Craig Hudson, that's Hudson with a T, or you can just click on the link in the show notes. Also, be sure to connect with Make Do on Instagram at Make Do Create or on Facebook at Make Do Cersei, and visit our website, makedocreate.org, for upcoming classes, show notes, to order a face mask, lots of things.